Hallelujah. In this place, before we come up to pray together, let's study a passage for mutual encouragement. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 5, verse 17. The book of James, chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. James, chapter 5, verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So here the book of James shares with us that Elijah is nature just like you and me. So in other words, he is flesh and blood. And quite often when we think about our nature, we think that human nature is very weak, right? Human nature is very sinful. That is true. That is the sinful nature that after Adam and Eve sinned against God. But the Bible shares with us here, yes, his nature like ours. And then it said, and he prayed earnestly. So in other words, even though he's flesh and blood, but when he communicated with God, when he prayed to God, then he changed, right? The way human beings should be. There's no way that a human being on this earth can pray for no rain for 3.5 years and then there's no rain. There's no way that a human on this earth can pray for rain and then there was rain. Only through the power of God. Can you imagine right now, right? You can go to Seattle. Because Seattle rains a lot, right? You go there, okay, from now on, you tell the governor in Seattle, say, there's not going to be any rain for 3.5 years. I'm sure the next day it might rain. And even now, we can say here, right? Maybe this place hasn't rained for a while. We can say, okay, tomorrow it will rain. Maybe it won't rain. Why? Because human beings, we have no power over the weather, only through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like today, I look at the weather in Dallas. They say it's all sunshine in the 90s, but right now it's pouring rain over there, right? Even the weather person, they cannot predict the weather. But here, Elijah, even though he's a man just like you and I, but when he communicated with God, then he prayed. Then for 3.5 years, there's no rain. Then in verse 18, and then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. So why Elijah has such powerful prayer? I'm sure because he had great faith. Let's learn why Elijah has such power. Let's turn to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings. Chapter 17. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Verse 1. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Verse 1. And Elijah, the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Galilee, say to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain this year except at my word. Wow. What a bold statement. What a bold proclamation. During that time, Elijah went in front of King Ahab. King Ahab was an evil king. Why? Because he was controlled by his wife Jezebel. But Elijah was not afraid. Why, he would go there and tell him that there will be no rain, right? Until he speak, until by his word. Why did Elijah be able to say that? Because I'm sure his relationship with God was great. And he knew God's heart, he knew God's will, because God was the one who told him there will be no rain for many years. So that's why Elijah went to say to Ahab. Nowadays, the spirit inside of us is the same spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead. But why would we pray? We're not even praying for the rain to stop. We're not even praying for the rain to come down. We just pray to be close to the Lord Jesus Christ. But every time we kneel down and pray, it seems God is so far from us. I remember one of the churches that One of the brothers, he had a stroke, and then he, you know, confined to a wheelchair. So one day, this other brother, who hasn't come to church for a while, and he looked at this brother in a wheelchair, and he said to him, "Do you have faith?" And then this brother said, "Yes." And then this other brother said to him, "If you have faith, rise up and walk." Right? That's what he said to the brother. And what did the brother in the wheelchair say to their brother? "Are you crazy?" That's what he said to him. "Are you crazy?" Right? So in other words, don't say things like that unless you're really moved by the Holy Spirit, right? To tell someone to rise up and walk, right? Even now, the brother saying to me, "Hey, Pastor Booty, you can command me to walk and I can walk," right? I say, "I'm sorry, I don't have that much faith." Because if the Holy Spirit don't move you to do it, you will not say such thing. Because on the end, you'll be embarrassing yourself, right? But we should be able to do it, because the Spirit of God is in us. But why you and I, when we kneel down and pray, we do not move the heavens and the earth? But our Lord Jesus Christ said to us, if we have a faith just like small as the mustard seed, we can tell this mountain to move, and it will move. And this is a faithful saying. But why is it so difficult for us nowadays to truly be close to God, to manifest the power of God that He instilled inside of us? Because the way we live our life nowadays. Nowadays, you and I are so comfortable, right? Yes, thank God you'll be able to suffer here for the next 2 weeks in YTS, right? Even the ground at NYDS, the carpet is nice and soft, right? It's good. Compared to Africa, yeah, it's very nice, right? But thank God, all of you can be here for 2 weeks, right? To really, you know, suffer for Lord Jesus Christ to train ourselves. But this is not enough. So here, why did God say there will be no rain? I mean, what is the, you know, why did God want no rain on the land at the time? And then look at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, verse 3, "Get away from here and return eastward, and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan." So here, God told Elijah, yes, there will be no rain for many years, but you go to hide at the brook of Cherith. So when we reflect about ourselves and about our church, maybe all this time there are no rain. So this means when you might pray to our Lord Jesus Christ, we don't feel the downpour of the Holy Spirit. We don't feel the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why nowadays, even at church, we are afraid, what? To pray in front of others. We feel if we invite other people to our church, then we kneel down and pray, we might scare them away. If we have this kind of mentality, for sure, God will not work with us. And the reason we have this kind of mentality, because we don't know the heart of God. Maybe it is God's will for there is no rain for these years. Because when there's no rain, there will be great famines, right? Because when there's no rain, there's no produce at all. So maybe some of us in church, we also experience this kind of famine. Why there's no rain? There's no power. Not because God don't want it to happen. Why? Because the people's life during that time. During that time, they have many false prophets. Right? The prophet of Baal, and then all other false prophets also. But God always allowed things to happen to us and to our church for a reason. Just like right now, many of us have doubt that this church is a true church of God. Why? Because our relationship with God is very distant. Because we don't experience God every day. But because we also have no faith that this church is a true church of God. So that's why when we pray, when we communicate with God, there's no relationship at all. But God will train you and I during this time of famine. Because on the end days, this church will be the most glorious church. But we hope that on the end days, that you and I, still sitting here, are still standing in true church to proclaim the great salvation. But if not, then we will become each other's enemy, right? Because there are only two armies to go to, the army of Satan and the army of God. And we hope and wish that all of you sitting here this morning will be with us, fighting against the army of Satan. But you must stand firm. Right now, yes, there might be a famine in our church, but this famine is for a purpose. But pray to understand God's will, just like Elijah this time. So even though there's a great famine,
there is no rain. Then what? God told Elijah, go to the broken chariot. And then look at verse 4. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook and have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the broken chariot, which flows into Jordan. Can you imagine if God tell you that time, right? Okay, there can be no rain, but you go to the brook. And when you go to the brook, your water, you should drink from the brook. And then what I should do? I will send the raven, right, to feed you. I mean, for us to read this verse, it seems like, wow, Elijah just, you know, go ahead and just did it. Can you imagine if you were Elijah during that time? Go to the brook and just stay there. Then I will command the raven, right? But Elijah, he just what? So he went, did according to the word of the Lord. It's so wonderful how great a faith that Elijah had. Now, before I moved to Dallas, I was living in San Jose. And during the time, my wife and I struggled, right, because, you know, the GA have assigned me to Dallas. But in San Jose, she had such a great job. Right? She had good pay, she could have good stock option, right? Even the stock option, if the company she worked for went IPO, right? And we can be, you know, become millionaire overnight, right? That's what I think about, because that's, you know, that's a reality, right? But then when the GA assigned us, right, to Dallas Church, then the first thing I had to do is sell my townhouse. And I just bought my townhouse not so long ago, right? Then I know if I sell it, I'm gonna sell it at a loss, right? At a loss. So but we kneel down and pray for it. So at first we think, okay, I'll move to Dallas first. Then my wife still work in San Jose, and then if a company went IPO, then and she become millionaires, we become millionaires, then she doesn't need to work anymore, right? She can serve God with me, right? That is the thought, right? Oh, it's a good thought, right? And then, you know, okay, so we decide if my wife stay in San Jose for another year, 2 years, right? Then we continue to pray. Because during that time, even members call me up, like, Rudy, you cannot go, right? Why? Because you just bought your house, you must tell the GA. Right? You must tell the GA. You just bought your house, you cannot go right now. And if you sell your house, we'll lose money, right? Of course, members say this to me, why? Because they have love toward me, right? They worry about me, right? But for me, when they say this kind of stuff, I'm always thinking too, if I stay here, maybe it's not God's will. Actually, it's not God's will. Why? Because if the GA tell me I need to move to Dallas, this means even it's not God's will for me to go to Dallas. If the GA tell me that, and then if they're wrong, then they get an answer to God, right? But I'm free. I'm free. So in other words, Neil and I pray, so we sold the house, and we lost $70,000, right, on the house. But it's okay, right? Then this time we rented an apartment, hoping my wife stayed there and worked there. Then we pray some more. Then we say, no, it's not worth it. Even we become millionaire overnight, but what happened if I go to Dallas and, you know, we don't see each other for a whole year and stuff like that? And it's not a good idea. So we say, let's all move together, right, to Dallas. So before I moved to Dallas, I went there once, trying to look for home, stuff like that, but I couldn't find anything. I was there just only for like a day. And then when I came back home, then we just feel like, you know, what are we gonna do with the living situation? So we prayed, and after we prayed, I'm not exaggerating. After we prayed, I turned on the computer, there's a house came on for sale. And my wife and I look at it, it's like, oh, this house looks good. Okay, let's make an offer. So we called and make an offer, and they accepted the offer, just like that, right? And then we didn't realize that, wow. And then I shared with some of the brothers, well, this is the house we got. We wonder how far is from the new church location? Then the brother told me that, actually, it's 1,500 feet from the new location we're going to build the church. And the church we're renting now is 5 minutes away, right? We're like, wow, can't believe it, right? Can't believe it. And then my wife and I were looking at the house, like, oh, you know, there's some wallpaper, right? There's wallpaper in the house. We don't like wallpaper, right? We're like, oh, we probably have to take it apart and, you know, then paint and stuff. Costs about $7,000 to $8,000 because the house, you know, Dallas homes, right? It's huge, right? And the ceiling's like 30 feet high and stuff like that, right? So as we pray about this, like, oh, should we do it because, you know, this and that, right? And then my real estate agent called me. He said, oh, Hoodie, you know, the owner, they decide to get rid of all the wallpaper and paint the whole house for you guys. I'm like, what? Because they accept the offer already, right? Nobody's in their right mind accepted the offer, then later on, want to do this rebuild offering, right? To paint the whole house and get rid of it. And that's what they did. So when we came to Dallas, not only are so close to church, but, you know, everything is, God prepared everything. Then my wife is looking for a job, and thank God, after 10 months of vacation, God bless her with a job, right? And after that, pretty much, you know, that she got a job 5 minutes from the house. 5 minutes from the home. Really amazing. So now when God tells us to go somewhere, we must pray about it, right? And be humble in our heart. God will never disappoint us. The same thing with all of you. Any college you go to, right? Make sure you do it from the will of God. Pray, right? And whatever you study, the same thing too. Why? Because God is our Father. He cares about every little thing that you and I do in life. But He always takes care of us. So that's why when God said to Elijah, go to the brook, and I will command the raven to feed you there. When you think about ravens, right? They're probably one of the ugliest birds out there, right? If I was Elijah, I'd say, God, can you send the eagle? Why a raven, right? Raven, they're ugly, they're dirty, right? The only other bird that's worse than a raven is what? Vulture. That's the only other bird. But besides that, all the other birds, why not send a beautiful parrot or something, right? Something. But a raven. But Elijah did not say one word, ask one question. He went to the brook. So in other words, this is the time for Elijah to reflect upon himself, to have faith in God, to trust God that no matter what happens, God will satisfy you. Even though you must live a simple life. Here. Elijah had a little simple life. Why? Because he can go to the brook. And what? God gonna send him the raven to feed him. Look at verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flowed into the Jordan, verse 6. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So sure enough, when he went to the brook, God promised what he said to Elijah. So in the morning, God commanded the ravens to bring him meat, bread and meat in the morning. And in the evening, God also commanded the ravens to bring him bread and meat. So in other words, maybe during lunchtime, Elijah fasted, right? See, the person that was saying, maybe he had some food left over from the morning, maybe, right? But here, so what is this telling us? Quite often the reason why you and I cannot obtain great power from God and through the Holy Spirit, because our life is too complicated, right? We cannot really reflect upon ourselves and live a simple life. Just like nowadays in this country, really every single day, we watch TV, right? We play video games, right? We do so many other things to distract us. But of course, I'm not saying all these things are bad. But when we do so much of these things, and we cannot live a simple life, and to be able, right, to communicate with God, then that's a problem. For me, when I go to Africa, really, I feel the most holy, right, in Africa. Why, for 1 month, I hardly see any women there, right? There's no women to look at over there. All you see is donkeys and things like that, right, walking around. And then there's no TV to watch. There's no phone, right? There's no nothing at all, right? So you just feel so close to God, right? So every day we go to preach the gospel and have fellowship with our brothers and sisters at night. We have fellowship with our brothers and then we go to sleep. And during that time where my thought was so pure, right? There's no, you know, advertisement on the bulletin board as you drive, right? We don't drive, just walk, right? There's nothing there. But even one time I was in shop, my first time there, right, I was given a sermon. Because every brother and sister there, they are very simple. So I was given a sermon and all the brothers and sisters sitting around me like this, right? I mean, yeah, sitting around. So I was giving a sermon, all the sisters on this side and the brother on this side. So I was giving a sermon, and also I just, you know, my eyes, I just do an eye contact with this way, right? Then when I came back this way, all of, like, these four or five sisters were breastfeeding the children. And I was like, oh, what is this, right? But then I just prayed in my heart, like, because, you know, everything's hanging out, right? Can you imagine nowadays things like this over here, right? There's no way it can happen, right? But really, but even then, my thought was so pure, right? There's nothing that I feel that defiled myself. So during the time when you pray, you just feel such power from God, right? I give you an example. So for example, when we eat food, right? When we eat food. Because quite often we go into the jungle and we walk and stuff like that, we don't have really food to eat, like, most of the time. So when I have food to eat, when I pray, God, thank you so much for this food, that I feel the power of God come upon me. Right? When I say thank you for that food, I really meant it. Because I was hungry, right? And I say thank you. When I say thank you, I really meant it from the deep down inside of my heart. Because of this, I feel God's power. And one time, we got so excited by it because some of the brothers had some meat, right? Some meat to cook for us, right? And then we asked him, hey, where did you get the meat from? It's like, oh, our neighbor's cow just died, right? And we're like, how did he die? We don't know, it just fell down dead, right? So the time when I pray with the meat, God, please sanctify this food, right? I really meant it. When I say that, I feel the power of God came through me. Just feel His power. But since I came back from Africa, when I prayed my food, thank you, Lord, but there's so much food. Right? And most of the time, I'm not that hungry, right? To the point that I'm starving. Then when you say, you know, sanctify the food, I see the food's still quite clean already. Right? So you don't really feel that. So that's why one of the things that you and I should do, that's why God trained Elijah. Before he prayed for the rain to stop, before he prayed for the rain to come down, God trained him how to live a simple life. Simple life, this means simple mind, simple thought. Don't be so complicated, man. Because the more that you and I have, the more things we need to worry about. Just like one time a brother, he bought one of those BMW, right? SUV, right? X5, X6, I don't know what it is, right? One of those things. Because he really wanted it, right? Then he shielded me. After he bought it, his life becomes so complicated. Why? Because every time he goes shopping, he doesn't want to park his car next to other people's car, right? Because when they open the door, they dent his BMW, and then he becomes very sad, right? So because of this, he parked very far from people. Then if he parked very far from people, what happened? This, you know, he had to walk a little bit of distance, right? But even he parked from a distance, there's no trees up in the parking lot. So he's worried, oh, if I park this car, what's gonna happen? The sun will hit his leather and then will fade, right, much faster, right? Then what are you gonna do? Is say, oh, let me park underneath a tree, right? And what happened one time he parked underneath a tree when he came back out? Yeah, it falls a bird doo-doo, right? So the bird doo-doo all his car, right? And then he said, this car gave him so much problem that he sold it and he bought a Mini Coupe instead. So in other words, because some people can drive a BMW, they have no problem. They don't care where they park this and that, right? And that's fine, right? But there's a lot of things in our life, it's very complicated. So that's why for Elijah, right? God brought him the ravens, right? Command the ravens. Even the raven is commanded by God. Right? Can you and I nowadays, okay, let's talk to the ravens or something and put out there. No worry, right? God is all powerful, everything is under His control. So why you and I are worried about things? Even there's no human being out here to help us, but God will command one of the animals to take care of us. That's not how much He loves us, but you and I need to have faith. So Elijah stayed there, right? Until when? Until the brook that flowed to the Jordan became dry, right? Became dry. And then verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Yes, maybe the trial and tribulation, right, that you and I go through, maybe that there's no rain for a while, but it's okay. Just like nowadays in our church. Yes, maybe right now there's a famine in our church, but you and I must stand firm. Don't be deceived by Satan's word, right?
Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was hungry. So say to them, you are the Son of God. Make this stone into bread. Our Lord Jesus Christ will be able to do it, but not with the word of Satan. Just like nowadays for us too. Don't be deceived. This church will be the most holy church, but you and I need to be trained. Need to be trained for God to use us. And the first thing we should do, try to live a simple life. It's so important. If we don't live a simple life, it's very difficult to reach God. So let's make this determination. Everything that costs us to make a wall between us and God, let's get rid of it. That's including TV, video games, whatever it is. If it's the wall that separates us from God, let's get rid of it. Chop it down. And let's live a simple life. Allow our Lord Jesus Christ and to rely on Him, for Him to feed us every single week. Day by day. If you be able to live this kind of life, when we pray to God, we'll for sure move the heavens and the earth. So now let's come up and pray to Him.